Welcome to Turn the Page, the official podcast of the Syosset Public Library.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Turn the Page. I'm Jen, your host today, and I'm here with an incredibly talented author, but also a very good friend. And I'm very excited to be talking to her today. Could I ask you to introduce yourself and your book, please?
Sure. Hi, Jen. Thanks so much for having me. I'm Sam DeMace. I am a career coach, self-advocacy expert, author, and speaker. And my book is called Power Mood. And it is the ultimate guide to hacking the corporate system, cultivating your career, and commanding your value.
It's such a great book. And, you know, when I got my copy from your publisher, I was just like absolutely stunned by the cover. It is beautiful. I love the color scheme and the whole design of the book is absolutely gorgeous. Were you involved in that process heavily? Did you work a lot with like the physical look of the book?
Thank you for that feedback. I appreciate those compliments. I wish I could say that I had something to do with that. But I think I just kind of described to the publisher what I envisioned and they ran with it. They took some inspiration from my website and the colors that I prefer, like purples and pinks and like some nice, fun, bold colors. So the book would really pop on the shelves and on Amazon. But yeah, they ran with that.
Nice. It is absolutely beautiful. You know, inside and out, like the content is gorgeous too. And it's just like, it's such a helpful book and it has so much practical advice, but also like really like it gets philosophical too. And it's just really like a nice, like gratifying read on so many levels. Before we get too much into the book itself, I was wondering if you could just talk a little bit about your journey to the book. How did you find yourself writing about these things and how did this book opportunity come to you?
Yes. So I've always wanted to write a book. I've always loved writing. I've always loved reading. The opportunity came a little sooner than expected, which was very welcome. I had a publisher reach out to me, slide into the DMs and ask like, hey, would you be down to write a book? Because we really dig your content and it resonates. And we feel like your voice is missing from the career advice space. I think what the publisher noticed and what I noticed is that a lot of career books are written by middle-aged men, which is fine and good. And I've read like all of them growing up in my career. There's a ton of them. There are some that are written by women, to be clear, but there's not that many written by millennial women for millennial and Gen Z women. So that was kind of the gap. And I said, yes, I would love to write this book. And I wrote it.
Great. Oh my gosh. And so social media also played a role in this process because you have a really wonderful Instagram following and you're on TikTok as well. What was it like translating social media content to the printed page?
It was interesting. I would say I used a couple different resources to write the book. I definitely pulled from my content. I also pulled from online courses and resources that I already have. So I had a lot of things already written and put down to paper. It was just a matter of crafting a narrative that all went together and kind of tying in some of my personal work experiences and life experiences and anecdotes into the book. So I would say it's a process of kind of combining what was already out there and then like me digging and thinking about what I wanted to share that could be of value for people that I went through.
Yeah. What I love about the book is that it feels very personal and it's very tied to your experience and your perspective, and you have so much useful advice, but it also is very, I don't want to say universal because nothing is truly universal, but it's very expansive and it's very accessible. And I think it's, you know, you take your personal experience and you render it into this, into really good ideas, like so clearly. Something I'd love for you to talk about is, you know, your approach to career advice, because I feel like you kind of split the difference between really practical, like ABC steps that you can do that feel like tangible and real. And then there's also like a lot that's sort of about like inner work, you know, that's like a little bit more holistic. And it's about like your self-esteem and your how you move through the world and how you communicate. So can you talk a little bit about like how you balance those two aspects?
Sure. Yeah. And that's a really interesting question. And I think First and foremost, my priority is practical tips. I was just giving a talk earlier today for some people who work at a corporate place. I don't know if I could say where, but I was giving a talk there, and one of the things that I kicked off my talk with was my tips are super practical and actionable. Like, I don't know how to do it any other way. Like, not a lot of my stuff is theoretical, I don't think. I think it's all very like actionable, practical, clear. You could run with it and go implement it that same day if you wanted to. Some of it, like you said, is more big picture. Like, confidence isn't built in a day. Like, you're not going to be able to walk out the door and be able to perfectly negotiate for your salary and own your power move and all that stuff. But I think in the book, I dive a little deeper into that side of things. Like, what's behind the scenes? Let's pull the curtain back. Let's explore, like, some systemic gender oppression. Let's explore capitalism a little bit. Let's explore racism a little slightly. You know, we kind of get into like some of those issues a little bit in the book that kind of surround some of my tips that I give on social media.
And you know what? That is so important. And it's something that, as you said earlier, really is often missing from the conversation, you know, simply because, like, so many of these books were written by people in very privileged positions. Sometimes they assume a lot of privilege on behalf of their readers, you know, and so, like, all their advice might not really end up being applicable across the board for people of diverse experiences and backgrounds. And that's something that your work really addresses. And I really appreciate that about that.
Thank you. I try. And I always acknowledge that I am coming from a place of privilege for sure. And I hope to expand more on that topic, like in future content, and maybe to talk more about my experience being a lesbian in this world of work, the one marginalized identity that I hold. But other than that, I am very privileged.
Yeah, it's you know, let's talk a little bit about moods, right? Because it's in the title and I feel like it is really central to your approach. Something that you do in this book that I love is that each of your chapters has a song that accompanies it, and it kind of sets the mood for the chapter, but also kind of like thematically speaks sometimes to what you are saying in the chapter too. What was the process of picking the music like, and how does mood work for you, like during your workday, during your career?
Jen, this is such a cool question, and I love that you're bringing this up because this playlist is one of my favorite things about the book. I think when I was given the opportunity to write a book, I think that one of the first things I thought was, I want to make a playlist to go with this book. And I asked the publisher, I wasn't sure if they were going to go for it or not. I was basically like, I want to put a song at the start of every chapter. And they said, yeah, let's do that. So I'm hoping the reader will either listen to the playlist while they're reading, have it in the background, or, you know, however they want to do it, listen to it while you work, while you're in the zone. But yeah, for me, work is synonymous with listening to music or ASMR or podcasts or something. So I always have that going for inspiration or concentration or focus, depending on what I need. Sometimes I need concentration music if I need to write something. Sometimes I need a podcast if I want to multitask. But yeah, that's really important for me for getting into my power mood. I also recommend in the book, you know, blast your favorite song before you go into an important meeting or an interview or like some sort of stressful situation. Like, put on something that's going to ground you and make you happy and confident. So whatever that is for you, like, put that on.
I love that, you know, and I feel like it really resonates with so much of the book's message because a lot of career advice often is, I want to say, framed around performance, you know, like, or compartmentalization. Like, this is who you are going to be in the office. And it might not necessarily have anything to do with who you are at home or outside the office. And your approach is, I think, a little bit more holistic, right? It's like, it's about bringing your whole self to work and not feeling the need to really hide parts of yourself or to compartmentalize your identity. Is that something that you thought a lot about while you were crafting this book and, you know, launching your career advice online too?
Yes, I think about that all the time. A lot of my content is about that. I'm glad that stood out to you from the book. I think bringing your whole self to work is like a newish concept, and some people like don't necessarily subscribe to it. Some people do. I think millennials and Gen Z are at the forefront of subscribing to this and really pushing it forward and putting it out there. I personally wasn't able to do it any other way when I was in corporate. Like, I would bring my whole self to work every day. That's how I did it. I was very transparent. I don't think everyone needs to do it exactly that way. But I think if you're not bringing your whole self to work, you're really missing out on sharing like some of you that can not only add value to the workplace, but is going to make you have a better day. You know, like I like being able to talk about my passions and other things. That way, it's not just we're robots at work. We all have full lives and a lot going on. So it's really nice to be able to incorporate some of that into the work experience.
Oh, 100%. Like, I think that can totally transform a workplace and your relationship to work, you know, because ultimately, I think it's about like healthy communication, right? You know, and not hiding, not holding parts of yourself back, but also like fostering healthy communication that just like makes relationships, you know, in addition to workplaces, work better. And that diversity of viewpoints and perspectives like can really strengthen a workplace because if everybody is coming in and pretending to be the same person, like what, you know,
Yeah.
you're not gonna get like all the wide spectrum of you know, experience that you could.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So one part that I also really liked about this book is that, let's see, it does speak, I think, to the role that gender plays, both in how like women are received in the workplace and how we move, you know, up or down the corporate ladder or what have you. And you spend a lot of time really like deconstructing the reasons for that, right? Like, because women are sort of often taught to like be small and not to take up a lot of space and to be passive and to assist others in their tasks. And so a lot of it feels like, you know, not only like really pragmatic advice, but also like about taking your power back, you know, and actually like, which makes you, I think, a stronger employee at the end of the day. Like, not that everything needs to be about being a better employee, but it's that's a nice side effect, you know?
Yeah, I think it's important to acknowledge where some of this comes from. Like, you know, because a lot of my advice comes from a place of a lot of women do this. And I was like, well, why? Why do a lot of women feel the need to apologize in the workplace, but men don't? Why do we see more men being promoted to managers statistically over women? Why do we see a gender wage gap? Why do we see women taking on more childcare? Why do we see women being more stressed at work than ever in 2023? Like, all of those things are backed by data and systems of oppression. So yeah, just being able to share and shed some light on some of that, those facts and that history. People know it, you know, I think we know about it, but we don't talk about it as much in the context of work advice and career and like reality. It kind of feels like at work sometimes we're like, we know that's there, but we don't talk about it. Like we don't talk about why half the operational staff is women, but less than a quarter of leadership is women. So I want to talk about that.
Yeah, that's so important. And, you know, I think it really does shed light on the way that people who occupy multiple marginalized identities are affected by these things because systems exist that like will select you out for you know, that will like deny you access to things. But also, you are acculturated like from birth to self-select out, you know, like I always think about how women tend to like round down their skills on their resumes and when they're talking about their experience, and men tend to round up and maybe claim experience that they don't have, you know, and that is like part of what keeps the system running, you know.
Yes, that's so true. I coach on that specifically too with like my one-on-one clients. We talk a lot about, you know, overselling and underselling. Like, what does your resume look like? Are you actually selling your skill sets? Most of my clients are super underselling their skill sets, like actually across the gender spectrum. A lot of people are just underselling.
Yeah, 100%. And I think that like another aspect maybe of that like oppression or exclusivity is like that, how do I say this? Like resumes are like a secret language that you know how to speak, you know, and some people are like fluent in that language and some people aren't too. So much of it ends up being about like not only acculturated norms, but also like yeah, systems that are designed to exclude people because they don't have certain experiences or certain ways of doing things. So
100%. I like what you just said, and I've been making content around that recently about how to craft like a a resume that recruiters want is like this gate-kept information. So I'm trying to just like put it all out there. Like, this is what recruiters actually are looking for. I know it sucks and I know it feels very judgmental and weird, but like, this is what's happening behind the scenes. So I want to just put it out there for people so they can, craft their resume according to what these recruiters are looking to see.
Absolutely. Do you see things like those processes, like what resumes are considered full of potential and which aren't? Like what kind of people hiring managers look for, how people get hired, how they get trained. Like, do those things, those processes, like do they move faster now in this age than they used to? And like, are you, when you give advice, are you also thinking ahead to like where these things are going and like what your advice might look like out from now, if that makes sense?
Yes, it does. And here's what's interesting about that. It's different across industries and it's different across the size of companies. So I think the hiring process at a huge corporation is way different than a hiring process at like a small startup or a nonprofit. So it's really hard to talk about it like that. I think that's why I try to make a lot of my advice general, or sometimes I'll include the caveat of like, well, if you're applying at a huge tech company, go to this website, or if you're doing this, do this. If you're applying at Disney versus applying at like, some smaller nonprofit, those are two really different things. So I think it depends. I think the hiring process in general is becoming more automated and leaning into AI more and things like that. I talk about that in my content. I wish it was like more human forward. It isn't always the case.
Yeah, and that I think especially puts, as we said earlier, marginalized identities at a disadvantage because like you need to be in the right spaces to learn those things, And so a lot of what your book does is democratizing a lot of this advice and also demystifying a process that I think is often intimidating on purpose,
100%. And that is my goal with this book. So if that's what you get out of it, like I feel really proud of that. Like that is definitely what I was hoping to do, is like share these skills so people can just hack the system and know what's going on behind the scenes. Like let's release this gatekept stuff and put it all out there.
Yeah. I love it. Thank you so much. Like, do you plan on writing more books? Do you think you're going to return to like this format or explore other formats?
I would love to do more, and I hope to. There's actually a companion workbook to the Power Mood book coming out in September, and it's called the Power Mood Workbook. And it expands on the topics in the book, but it's in a hands-on format. So for people who love to get a pen out and write all over something and really get to put their personal experiences on paper and get interactive, it's really fun. I actually just finished it. So it has quizzes and checklists and templates and fun things to doodle. There's like a doodle section. So it's really fun. Like workbooks are, I'm sure you've had your fair share of workbooks, but it's totally a workbook in the workbook sense. It's super cute and fun and practical and very helpful for putting everything you learned into practice. So that's coming out in September, but I would like to do more outside of that.
Nice. Well, that sounds awesome because I am a workbook person and I love like journaling. And I also feel like sometimes with workbooks, I get a little bit of like therapeutic regression because it feels like working with a coloring book or like doing a maze, like it's just
Yes.
the process really fun. So I will definitely be on the lookout for that personally. And maybe maybe in September you will consider coming back to the show to talk about that one.
I would love to come back and talk about the workbook if you'll have me back.
Yay, absolutely. All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us. This has been great. And yeah, I'm so excited for our listeners to get to read this and like really be transformed by it. Like I was looking at it on NetGalley and there's already like just so many wonderful reviews rolling in from librarians and booksellers. And I thank you for this book. It's just so wonderful.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that, Jen. Thank you.
Welcome. Okay, listeners, so pick up Power Mood. Unlock your confidence, transform your life, and command your value. You'll find it at your favorite bookstore or library, wherever you get your books, so please check it out. For now, it is time to close this chapter.
It's time to close this chapter of Turn the Page. Join us for the next episode.